Good morning. First, the lesson this morning is Matthew 5, verses 21 through 37. Teaching about anger. You have heard that people were told in the past, "Do not commit murder. Anyone who does will be brought to trial." But now I tell you, if you are angry with your brother, you will be brought to trial. And if you call your brother, you good for nothing, you will be brought before the council. And if you call your brother a worthless fool, you will be in danger of going to the fire of hell. So, if you are about to offer your gift to God at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar, go at once and make peace with your brother, and then come back and offer your gift to God. If someone brings a lawsuit against you and takes you to court, settle the dispute while there is still time, before you get to court. Once you are there, you will be turned over to the judge, who will hand you over to the police, and you will be put in jail. There you will stay, I tell you, until you pay the last penny of your fine. The next session is teaching about adultery. You have heard that it was said, "Do not commit adultery." But now I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman and wants to possess her is guilty of committing adultery with her in his heart. So, if your right eye causes you to sin, take it out and throw it away. It is much better for you to lose a part of your body than to have your whole body thrown into hell. If your right eye causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is much better for you to lose one of your limbs than to give your whole body go off to hell. The next one is teaching about divorce. It is also said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a written notice of divorce. But now I tell you, if a man divorces his wife for any cause other than her unfaithfulness, then he is guilty of making her commit adultery. If she marries again, and a man who marries her commits adultery also. Final one is teaching about vows. You have also heard that people were told in the past, "Do not break your promise, but do what you have vowed to the Lord to do." But now I tell you, do not use any vow when you make a promise. Do not swear by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is the resting place for his feet, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not even swear by your head, because you cannot make a single hair white or black. Just say yes or no. Anything else you say comes from the evil one. The next lesson is Deuteronomy, verses 15 through 20. The law is to be read every 7 years. Conditions for restoration and blessing. Today I'm giving you a choice between good and evil, between life and death. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God, which I give you today, you will love him, obey him, and keep all his laws. Then you will prosper and become a nation of many people. The Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are about to occupy. But if you disobey and refuse to listen and are led away to worship other gods, you will be destroyed. I warn you here and now. You will not live long in that land across the Jordan that you are about to occupy. I am now giving you the choice between life and death, between God's blessing and God's curse. And I call heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Choose life. Love the Lord your God. Obey him to be faithful. to him, and then you and your descendants will live long in the land that he promised to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Before I begin, I want to tell you something. I love preaching, and I try my very best to offer up original, timely, and meaningful sermons for our time together every week. Sometimes it's easier than others. Wrestling with the scriptures and writing my sermon are oftentimes among the best parts of my week. Other times, like this week, not so much. As many of you know, this week I was sick. When crunch time came, my fingers were poised above the keyboard, and I had nothing. So I went back and I looked in my files and I found this sermon that I had preached a few years ago on these scriptures. Some things bear repeating, right?
Yes.
And while it's not original or hot off the press, I hope that you find it meaningful. And if you hear echoes of things I have said before, perhaps that's God trying to get our attention. So, love. Love is in the air. But you might not know it from this week's readings, from the gospel lesson in particular. Valentine's Day or not, the lectionary serves up some pretty difficult teachings of Jesus. No Hallmark cards, no candy hearts, no sugar coating. This is tough stuff. In this teaching, Jesus covers a variety of topics. Anger, lust, divorce, oaths, four controversial subjects for one sermon. Jesus' audience, the disciples and the crowd who were gathered around them, were familiar with the Jewish law and what the law said about these topics. They knew the Ten Commandments and the law of Moses. And Jesus, having just proclaimed that he hadn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, was surely expected to uphold every word. So it must have been a little surprising when Jesus employed the rhetorical device we find here. About each topic, Jesus proclaimed, "You have heard that it was said, but now I say to you." You have heard that it was said, but now I say to you. It almost sounds like Jesus is changing the very law he said he came to fulfill. Almost, but not quite. Because if we look closely, we'll see that Jesus isn't changing anything, but rather getting to the heart of it. For example, in his teaching on murder, Jesus invites us to see the emotion that lies beneath it, anger. If we can get a hold of anger before it blossoms, if we can restore damaged relationships before they break, we can all live more peaceably within community. And in so doing, we will be upholding not only the letter, but the heart of the law as well. Still, some of Jesus' statements seem harsh, even heartless at first. Especially when we consider the punishment he suggests. For those of us who lust, we are to pluck out an eye or cut off the hand. And hellfire awaits those of us who've been known to use the phrase, "you fool." The Greek word for hell of fire is geneia, and refers to an actual smoldering garbage dump outside of Jerusalem. An image that Jesus' listeners could easily bring to mind. So what are we to do? We all experience anger. We've all lusted after someone or something. We've all experienced fractures in our relationships. And we've certainly all broken promises. Are we to pack up and move to the garbage dump? Are we to pluck out an eye or cut off our limbs? Is there any hope at all? Do we have a chance? In our scripture from Deuteronomy this morning, Moses put a choice before the people of Israel. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, you shall live and become numerous. And then he invites them, choose life. It seems to me that Jesus is offering a similar choice. We can live the letter of the law by not murdering, not committing adultery, not lying, or we can go deeper. We can live our faith not just with our actions, but also with our hearts. As Amy Oden put it, it is one thing to behave rightly. It is another thing entirely for one's heart to be oriented toward love. I admit that personally I find this morning's gospel lesson most challenging. It's a difficult one, some of those hard sayings of Jesus. I have trouble reconciling these words of Jesus with what I understand of the God of love. The only way that I can truly understand these teachings is through the lens of relationship. When Jesus speaks of anger, I hear the pain that is caused when relationships between people are not valued. When Jesus speaks of lust, I hear him warning against the ways that we objectify each other. When Jesus speaks of divorce, I hear him caring for the women of his day, who when divorced by their husbands often had no place to live and no way to earn a wage. When Jesus speaks of oaths, I hear the importance of honesty in building trust within communities. All of these teachings, as I understand them, speak to the importance of honest, caring, loving relationships between people, living from the heart. So what does it mean to live in ways that restore relationships and strengthen community? What would it be like to put relationships above rules? And what would it mean to trust our neighbors as friends rather than rivals? To me, this sounds like an abundant way to live. It's a way that builds up rather than tears down. It speaks to a way of life in which we honor each other as persons who are blessed and beloved of God. It is a life of integrity. And I believe in my heart that this is the life to which Jesus calls us. So perhaps love is in the air today. The love that Jesus calls us to is not a simple love, but a demanding love. It's a love that requires something of us. It's a love that doesn't permit us to use others for our own purposes. And it's a love, when lived, that challenges us and changes us from the inside out. You have heard that it was said, but I say to you, choose love. Follow me, Jesus invites us, and I will show you the way of love.